comes to you live from New York in living color on NBC. The Bell Telephone Hour. Tonight we present Much Ado About Music, starring Patrice Munsell, Alfred Drake, Joan Sutherland, Jacques D'Amboise, Violette Verdi, with Donald Voorhees and the Bell Telephone Orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, Sir John Gielgud.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms, and then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then a lover, sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress' eyebrow. And the soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good cape on lined, with eyes severe and beard of formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances, and so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again towards childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all, that ends this strange, eventful history, is second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
More ballets than you can imagine have been based on the plays. Midsummer Night's Dream, for instance, with Mendelssohn's famous and familiar wedding march. Grand Opera, grand operas, dozens of them have been based on Shakespeare's plots. Giuseppe Verdi alone wrote a double handful. It was he who brought to the operatic stage Falstaff and Macbeth and Othello and Desdemona with her sad little willow song. I think Shakespeare would have approved of all this and would have said, play the plays as you will, take from them what you will, but come back to them. Play them and read them, but do not forget them.
Scioglie le chiome. Unwise, with eyes unable to see.
Seven seas blow my good ship where they please. I can never sail away from you. Though my bark like a shell is hurled to the edge of this flat old world, you'll be with me till my journey's through, until I return. Cast your shadow on the sea, on both the sea and me. Not a shadow dancing in the sun that fades when day is done. Since you have made this shade for my heart, my heart's no longer free. When you cast your shadow on the sea,
because I feel so well, and no sobs, no sorrows, no sighs.
This can't be love, I get no dizzy spell, my head is not in the sky.
My heart does not stand still, just hear it beat.
This is too sweet. This can't be love, because I feel so well, but still I love to look in your eyes.
Romeo and Juliet has never long been off the stage since the days of Shakespeare. And in all ages, musicians have gone to it for inspiration. Tchaikovsky wrote his famous Romeo and Juliet ballet. Berlioz turned it into a dramatic symphony and Gounod into an opera. And in our own day, Leonard Bernstein composed the score for West Side Story. I think that Shakespeare would be greatly interested and amused to see his play transferred from the hot and passionate scenes of Renaissance Italy to the seamy west side of New York City, with the doublet and hose of his day replaced by black leather jackets and blue jeans, and his feuding families of Verona become the rival factions of New York street gangs. But the heroine, whether she be called Juliet or Maria, whether she lives in a great house or a tenement, is a young girl secretly and completely in love.
Oh, come, gentle knight. Come, loving black-browed knight, give me my Romeo. And when he shall die, take him and cut him out into little stars, and he will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night and pay no worship to the garish sun.
Oh, pity, I feel pity and witty and bright, and I pity any girl who misses me tonight. I feel charming, oh, so charming, it's alarming how charming I feel, and so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real. See the pretty girl in that mirror there, look at that attractive girl be. Such a pretty face, such a pretty dress, such a pretty smile, such a pretty me. I feel stunning and entrancing, feel like running and dancing for joy, for I'm loved by your pretty, wonderful boy.
The most famous scene of Romeo and Juliet is, of course, the balcony scene. While there are, unfortunately, no richly carved balconies or formal Italian gardens on the west side of New York, the modern young lovers find a setting that does just as well as the moon-drenched Garden of Verona.
Lady, by yonder blessed moon, I swear, that tips with silver all these fruit treetops.
I swear not by the moon, the inconstant moon that monthly changes in a circle door, that thy love prove likewise variable.
What shall I swear by?
Oh, do not swear at all. Or if thou wilt, swear by thy gracious self, which is the god of my idolatry, and I'll believe thee. Good night. Good night. As sweet repose and rest come to thy heart, as that within my breast.
Wilt thou leave me so unsatisfied?
What satisfaction canst thou have tonight?
The exchange of thy love's faithful vow for mine.
I gave thee mine before thou didst request it, and yet I would it were to give again.
Oh, blessed, blessed night, I am afeard. Being in night, all this is but a dream. Too flattering sweet to be substantial.
Began tonight, I saw you and the world went away. Tonight, tonight, it's only you tonight. What you are, what you do, what you say. Today, all day, I had a feeling a miracle would happen. I know now I was right, for here you are, and what was just a world is a star tonight. Going mad, shooting sparks into space. Today, the world was just an address, a place for me to live in, no better than all right. But here you are, and what was just a world is a star.
Juliet's radiantly joyful in her newfound love, and then suddenly all of her dreams of future happiness are swept away. Her nurse tells her that Romeo, her husband of only a few hours, has killed her cousin Tybalt in a street brawl and fled the city. In the new musical version, her tragic realization of this is quite as moving as it was in the old Elizabethan play.
Tybalt is dead, and Romeo banisheth. Romeo that killed him, he is banisheth.
Oh, God! Did Romeo's hand shed Tybalt's blood?
It did. It did, alas, the best.
Oh, serpent heart, hid with a flowery face. Was ever book containing such vile matter so fairly bound? That deceit should dwell in such a gorgeous palace.
There's no faith, no trust, no honesty in men. All perjured, all forsworn, all naught, all dissemblers. Shame come to Romeo.
Blistered be thy tongue for such a wish. He was not born to shame. Upon his brow shame is ashamed to sit. Is a throne where honor may be crowned sole monarch of the universal earth. Oh, what a beast was I to chide at him.
Will you speak well of him that killed your cousin?
Shall I speak ill of him that is my husband?
A boy like that would kill your brother. Forget that boy and find another. One of your own kind, stick to your own kind. A boy like that will bring you sorrow. You meet another boy tomorrow. One of your own kind, stick to your own kind. A boy who kills cannot love. A boy who kills has no heart. And he's the boy who gets your love and gets your heart. Very smart, but he's a very boy. A boy like that wants one thing only. And when he's done, he'll leave you lonely. He murdered your love, he murdered mine. Just wait and see, just wait, Maria. Just wait and see.
Anita, no. It's true for you, not for me. I know it's true, not for me. I hear your words, and in my head, I know they're smart. But my heart, Anita, but my heart.
Boy like that,
not
kill your brother.
And my
forget
heart.
That boy, it's and find another.
Young women of Shakespeare's comedies and tragedies have a great deal in common. His heroines tend to be charming, bright, articulate ladies, able to fence with words quite as well as any of the clever and sophisticated young gentlemen with whom they have to deal. The energetic, clever, madcap Catherine of The Taming of the Shrew is in the very pattern of all of Shakespeare's young heroines. In our day, she appears again in a modern musical version of the play as the high-tempered charmer of Kiss Me, Kate. Whether Juliet is met in a play or a ballet, she's intelligent, witty, mature beyond her years, as we find out during her first meeting with Romeo at her father's feast. Ophelia, the sad and doomed heroine of Hamlet, has only a few happy moments in the play, but we recognize that she is at least a cousin to Juliet and Catherine. Ophelia is a pathetic figure. Her father's been killed, and Hamlet, whom she loves, has been sent far away from Denmark. She is very much alone. We can understand why she's swept away into madness, becomes a tragic and broken figure in the opera, as she is in the play. And now, Sir John Gielgud and Master William Shakespeare introduce us to these enchanting young women.
I have of late, and wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, foregone all custom of exercises, and indeed it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, seems to me a sterile promontory This most excellent canopy, the air, look you. This brave o'erhanging firmament. This majestical roof fretted with golden fire. Why, it seems no other thing to me than a foul and pestilent congregation of vapors. What a piece of work is a man. How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable. In action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. And yet to me, what is this quintessence of dust? Man delights not me, no, nor woman neither.
Oh!
soft, what light through yonder window breaks. It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief, that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometimes declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. Thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Thank you. You are called Plain Kate and Bonnie Kate and sometimes Kate the Cursed, but Kate the prettiest Kate in Christendom. Hearing thy mildness praised in every town, thy virtues spoke of, and thy beauty sounded, yet not so deeply as to thee belongs, myself am moved to woo thee.
Now and then, if you espouse an older man through girlish optimism, he'll always stay at home at night and make no criticism. Though you may call it love, the doctors call it rheumatism. I hate men. From all I've read, alone in bed, from A to Z about them. Since love is blind, then from the mind, all womankind should rout them. But ladies, you must answer too. What would we do without them? Still,
to wive it wealthily in Padua. If wealthily, then happily in Padua. I shall not be disturbed one bit if she be but a quarter wit, if she only can talk of clothes while she powders her doggone nose. I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
He's come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
I heard you say, good gad, but what a cat you are. Do I mind if she fret and fuss, if she fume like Vesuvius, if she roar like a winter breeze on the rough Adriatic seas, if she scream like a teething brat, if she scratch like a tiger cat, if she fight like a raging boar? I have upstuck a pig before. I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
With a nonny, 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 and a hey, hey, hey.
Not to mention money, money for a rainy day. I've come
to wive it wealthily in Padua. Darling, to you.
at me. I'm yours, dear. It's life. So in love, so in love, so in love with you, my love.
Then kiss me, Kate.
Signora.
And twice and thrice.
Carissima.
Ere we start
Bellissimo.
Living in paradise.
Bellissimo.
Oh, kiss me, Kate. For now thou shalt ever be.
Now thou shalt ever be.
Mine,
mine, darling,
mine,
mine,
and I am thine.
These are actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherits, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep.